Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Curio City.
We out here.
It's Lauren.
And it's Adam.
And we're answering y'all questions.
I'm so flattered that people have such, like, compelling questions for us. It makes me so happy that, like, not only do we have people that are listening and engaging in, like, our Instagram, but, like,
our Instagram. It's so cute.
In such meaningful ways. Yeah, I know.
My Instagram account.
your secondary branded Instagram account for the podcast that I also engage with on occasion.
Yeah.
It's just like, I feel like so seen and so appreciated and respected. And it's just like, I just want to answer all your questions as best I can.
I feel more proud than I do anything else that there are people within my community sphere, because these questions are off of my Instagram.
Yeah.
Who have good questions, because as a podcaster,
yeah,
there's nothing I admire, respect more than people who know how to ask good questions.
Yeah, like how to dig deep into the roots of something rather than just something where you're just gonna have a yes or no or like an easy answer.
Yeah, people not just have questions, because even that, I'm proud of people who even have questions. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you go. Like, look at you questioning things and like wanting to know more.
Your curiosity is peaking.
Yes. And like, I love that. But then when the questions are good, I'm like, you are my people.
Well, and I think specifically because, like, as we reoriented into the new podcast, like, it was predominantly because people didn't see us. They didn't have questions for us. They were like,
we don't have
Can you move on? We don't want to see you. Where is the person that you're interviewing?
We're like, yeah. Thousands of listens being like, okay, excuse me, move. Can you move?
Yeah. People, can you go out of the way?
Actually, that being said, we were just talking about, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but we're recently talking about how we have a review on Apple Pod that, like,
they're
mad that there's two white people who look, they said airbrush, but we were not airbrushed. Thank you very much though.
I appreciate that.
Airbrush blonde white people. I was blonde at the time. It's so alienating. Like, ugh, why would you do this when you have such good conversations, like that sort of review? And anyway, we were talking about that because it was just so representative of that time of the podcast where, like, it felt, and now we have some solid crew who have stuck around. I'm not going to lie. You know who you are. And now we have new community members and like curious cuties, and I'm like obsessed.
Yeah.
But there was a time where this podcast was deconstruct and there were people who were really listening for just the content.
Yep.
And
they were literally just on Apple Podcasts looking up like whoever the person was.
Didn't know who we were at all. Literally, it was our faces on the art. Finally.
For the first time, because I had just been designing like random art for a podcast cover.
And so it was us and they were like, who are these people?
They were like, this doesn't look like a reflection of me.
I'm literally like, there are two people on this podcast that you listen to every single week. Two. A guy and a girl. You can tell by the voice. Who do you think those two people are on the cover? Like, oh my God. Anyway, all that being said, you
context guys. Context clues, people. Just kind of use them.
All that being said, if you love this podcast and if you've stuck around or if you're new here, it would truly mean the world if you could cover up and bury that bad review from that one person by leaving a bunch of amazing, incredible. I don't know if you can like leave multiple reviews, but I don't know, like refresh and see if you can.
try twice. Why not?
Literally just leave us a good review, 5 stars, because it helps our people who don't even know who we are yet find us. And it tells the podcast gods that we're worth listening to. So,
well, and I think the thing is too, like, it helps them find us, but it helps them find you specifically because it's going to point them to our Instagram and it's going to get them into the chat and
the curious cuties
conversation can start happening.
We got to build it up. They're like, we are a niche group, but like, there's more of us out there, I know. And so
it really does feel like the beginning of why we started Deconstruct again, because it was like, we didn't hear anybody talking about it and we wanted to just have our conversations out loud.
Yeah.
So that we could be like, hello, is there anybody out there? Are you there? If you're listening, we're out here.
But it's much harder because this type of niche isn't, we've talked about this before and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I'll just say it's like, before we started recording, I had mentioned how when we first started Deconstruct the podcast and all that, we were building an identity based off of a past identity. So we were deconstructing our past identity of being Christians.
Yeah.
And then, you know, post that, post like Christian world and then deconstruct, it kind of got into social justice world. And that was like an identity off of another identity. And I didn't want Curiosity to be like the post deconstruction
podcast reconstruct either, which it the kind podcast. Of is.
Like we do talk about it, but sure. I didn't want to brand it like that. I didn't want to be like, welcome to the people who have deconstructed your faith and now you don't do that and you don't want to be part of anything like that anymore. And you're like, I'm
done complaining, I swear.
Literally, but wait, what?
I said I'm done complaining.
Yeah, like I'm not anti, I'm done being anti. Like I'm done being like the building identities as the antithesis of my last one. Like, no thanks, I'm done. Like we're just curious now. Like we're curious about it all. So anyway, that's why I think that encompasses a lot of things. I thought I was going to be off of my tangent starting this episode, but
there's no way. No, of course. I mean, the thing is all of our conversations are always going to stem out of the things that we're feeling and passionate about at the time. And like the conversations we're having. So like I knew coming into this thing that this was going to be like right on the front page.
I'm coming in hot. Okay. That's what I was saying. I was so excited. I called Adam today. I was like, I'm so excited to talk to you. Like I genuinely was so, even though we record once a month together, I was like, it felt like years. I was like, oh my gosh.
You're like, there's so much I need to tell you.
Well, I think it's because I've been recording a lot. I've been batching episodes. So I've been having so many conversations. So to me, it has felt like I've had like months without talking to you.
Yeah.
Even though it won't feel that way to our listeners. But anyway, that's how it's felt to me. So I've been revved up. Yeah, I'm like, Adam, I got so much to talk to you about.
Look, I think the whole thing is like, yes, this is a podcast that we're answering questions about our relationship, but I think this is an answer to the question about our relationship.
This is our relationship.
This is what we do. Like literally we're having phone calls and conversations, just talking about the evolution of things and reflecting on our feelings and reflecting on our identities and like,
well, I think
rebuilding things and trying to come up with new dreams all the time.
I think that one of the responses I get from our episodes the most is like, I felt like I was a fly on the wall. Like I think us just like having conversations about whatever that just keep flowing. Like I think is what the people want.
It's what I like to listen to. Honestly, same. Like I've gotten to the point now where I listen to certain podcasts and I'm like,
I don't care about the topic. Like, I just want to hear you ramble.
Yeah, exactly. I'm consuming podcasts now how I used to consume YouTube videos.
Totally. Well, that's what I think.
And YouTube videos are becoming more cinematic and feelsy for me now.
Totally.
In a different way, but like.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Those have become more topical. And now I listen to podcasts.
To be like in the background, like laughing.
I mean, because I'm doing it while I'm working or like whatever.
Yeah. So hopefully you're enjoying this so far, you guys. We do have questions we're going to answer. And so we're going to dive in actually with one that was sort of a question, but it was more a response to something I had posted. And I had asked Adam a couple mornings ago, just randomly thought of it. I was like, what advice would you give yourself exactly like 10 years ago? So Adam would be 19, I would be 20. So that time, that exact age, not like 17 to 20, but like 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And then for me, like 20 years old. What advice I didn't give you these details, but like in my mind, I'm like, without like changing everything.
Of course.
Like you can't like.
Not like I'm not going to tell myself winning lottery numbers or something.
No. And like also I can't tell 20-year-old me like that wasn't ready to like deconstruct her faith or anything. I'm not going to say like, you know, things that she wouldn't listen to.
Yeah.
Right. Like what would 20-year-old me really benefit from without like altering the course?
Yeah. And what was that for you?
So for me, it was, when I was 20, I'd graduated college, in May. So if it was exactly 10 years ago, then I would have like 1 month left of college essentially at this point, before I'd go on tour. And when I went on tour, I was on tour for, you know, that moment on until like 2018. Mm-hmm. And what I would tell myself is you don't need to put all your eggs in one basket. As much as like everybody / your mother wants you to do that and thinks that that's the way to succeed. And not just like, I mean, everybody, like producers, people, just everyone says that like you got to focus on the one thing, and like if you have any other ideas in your head, kill them, squash them, because you just got to make this one thing happen and
singular focus.
Make everything that anything that you create has to funnel into this career. So when I was a musician, it's like if I wanted to write a blog piece, I had to be for my band, like under my band name, or if I wanted to create a clothing item, it had to be under the band name. If I want, like, everything of my creativity was completely funneled into just my music, and to a negative, a very negative degree. Because
I mean, even after you came out of that, you were like, I don't know if I'm do I write under Deconstruct or do I write under
even
Lauren
to this day? It's like Deconstruct.
Yeah, I mean, when it was like Deconstruct,
back in the day. It was anyway. So I think I would tell myself, like, you don't have to put all your eggs in one basket. And they're like, my sister didn't, and it benefited her. And I was in the end, at the end of it all, it benefited her. And I was left feeling betrayed by myself. I mean, by her because of circumstances and my mother and the Christian music industry, but also by myself, because all the while I had put everything into one career, like all my creativity, all of my passion into this one thing. And then when that one thing was gone, I literally had nothing.
Yeah.
I had no other songs written except for that band. I had no other like creative
contacts
vision,
or anything.
No other contacts, nothing, like literally nothing. And it was so fucking confusing to my brain being, how old was I then by that point? I was 25. And it was overwhelming to lose my sense of identity with a career when that was gone. And then like, then I was deconstructing and all that stuff too. It's like so much shit. So I really think I would tell myself to like expand. And yeah, so that had a couple other things that I would say, but I think that would be like the biggest thing that I'd tell myself that I don't think would alter my course. You know what I mean? I don't think it would have just made things a little easier on me if I would have been like, oh, it's okay, because like I have a little song here that I could do, or like I've taught myself how to do this and I enjoy this little hobby. It's like it would have helped my sanity.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Even if you would have just brought something in like a hobby.
Yeah.
Like it was even difficult to get you to even spend and commit time or money on anything other than what you were doing.
I remember when I bought paints?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm
doing.
Like,
I don't know what I'm doing this, but I'm going to start painting something.
I'm terrible, terrible at painting.
You did a pretty good job. I thought you did all right.
I had to like,
had to express
like,
in some
what
way.
Do I do?
Yeah. Do you think it would have been helpful for you if somebody had brought like external hobbies and things like that that they had passions for and invited you into those spaces, or would that have been
passions.
Stressful too?
It was just all funneled into the one thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if it was somebody else's, you can't funnel their passion into something of yours.
Someone else's.
So like if somebody from the outside had brought something to you and was like, hey, come join me in my rock climbing, or hey, come do my jazz club gig, or
I tried doing that stuff and my mom like basically wouldn't let me do anything that wasn't funneled into like
my
band.
Suppose there was a lot of
like I wanted to join dance team and I wanted to join
do theater
I
stuff.
Did join clubs I tried and then she's like, no, you're too busy. Sorry, but that was at fault at like in that time of like my relationship to my mother. I literally went to counseling when I was in college because of my codependency on my mother.
I mean like it, and she was so close to the action
because I don't blame her fully.
Yeah. Of course, you benefited so deeply from the things that she did.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's like, it's definitely the double-edged sword because you benefited so much, but it also like, it really did create such a singular focus in you that the moment that was gone,
I was fucked.
You had no idea how to do anything other than be dependent on the system that was created.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's the advice I'd give that I don't think would alter my course. It would have just helped me out a little bit.
It would have altered it just enough to be like a little bit more
not
healthy.
Not as traumatizing.
Totally. Yeah. You would have had something else to hold on to.
What about you?
Claim. That is that like just claim things. Claim something.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Because like, especially at 19, like I was working at Best Buy for like, I was almost there for 2 years. It was the longest I had ever been at a single job. And I was so lost. I had no idea who I was. I remember specifically like a week straight of driving into work and being like, what am I doing with my life? Like I was like going through all these ideas of like, who did I know myself as in the past? And I was like, I know I'm a smart kid. I know I'm a hard worker. I know I'm good at music. I know like all these things that I was doing. And I'm like, and I'm implementing none of that. Like, I don't know where like the disconnect was for me. And I think it was in my inability to actually claim what I wanted, to claim identities that I held in the time that I was in them. And I think it was like, I also had a hard time claiming my power to move myself toward what I wanted in the future. And so like, if I could give myself something at that age, which I was also like, I was right at the beginning of opening up a business of my own as well.
Right.
And so like, I was kind of in the precipice of that identity loss and also building something new for myself that was supposed to be more sustaining. Obviously that's where I ended up meeting you. So it really built me into an identity that was amazing for me and that really needed to be fulfilled. But if I could have just had a little bit more of that, I would have had opinions. And I didn't know how to have an opinion. I didn't know how to have a favorite food. I didn't know how to have a movie I wanted to see. I didn't know how to have an agenda. I had no ability to claim my own space, my own time, my own anything. And like, that is 100% the advice that I needed then.
Yeah.
That would have just clarified everything for me.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
That's... Yeah, no, I completely see that for you. I see how it benefited you and how like you couldn't have changed that also because like it led you to where you are now. Totally. And like, I definitely see that. I know that it's something that we've talked about. I mean, like avid podcast listeners have heard us talk about how you need your edges. Like you need something. We've talked about that since basically day one of the podcast. So I definitely see that. And actually, you know, all these images came flooding in my mind of you back then and you had opinions cause like you
and bumped up against
some of mine. Yeah. You made choices.
I did.
That's for sure. You made choices. You may not have had like strong opinions, but those choices were
First day we ever met, I was wearing a short sleeve hoodie in the middle of the dead heat of summer in a building that had no air conditioning.
Yeah. Whew.
And I was playing drums.
If you think Adam has a big head now, his head was huge.
And my hair was even bigger.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you can believe it.
It really was. Okay, so I was thinking about that and it made me like a little ponder a little bit on myself because I honestly was going to say like I can relate, especially at that time. I felt like I didn't have opinions. I didn't. But you met me at a time when I just had.
You were just starting to formulate really strong opinions.
So you met me at the precipice of that because I had just gone vegan. Like just.
Oh, and yes. And you had strong opinions about your fiance.
Yeah. Well, I was protective over it because we're not going into that. But
I just mean you were claiming things.
Yeah. Yes. So it was the first time that, and I've said that, like, I feel like veganism was my first break out of my, like, what do you call it? Like, how my life was like going, like first step out of line kind of thing. And I claimed something that like my family wasn't doing. And then they did, like my mom and my sister, they followed suit. Like it was really amazing that they did that for a little while.
And how empowering for you in your choice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was really incredible that they did that. But that was the first strong opinion that like I had, and it eventually led me to like, it crumbled my relationship with my then like boyfriend at the time too, because like, as soon as I started having opinions, he was like, I don't like you. Like,
yeah. Don't go too crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a quote from my ex. Actually, he like gave me this cookbook and it was like on healthy foods, like just like organic foods. And when he gave it to me, he said, okay, now don't go too crazy. Like, don't,
like, I understand this is a part of your identity. I don't want to see it become more than what it is right now.
Yeah.
But I see you.
He wanted to control me so bad. And as soon as he saw that I was starting to make some strong choices, he was like, I'm not into this. So anyway, we butt heads and we ended up breaking up. Shocker.
He said, this doesn't feel like a small town Atlanta girly wifey.
No, yeah, I wasn't. So
you weren't sweet as a Georgia peach?
I wasn't. I had become not sweet, according to him, you know? And that was another thing. He always wanted me to be like his mom, who was sweet as a Georgia peach and was a middle school teacher. And he would literally tell me to my face that he wanted me to be sweet like his mom. I'm not kidding you. I'm not shitting you. I'm not exaggerating that. He would tell me to my face, not just once, but several times.
There are things about that feel really inappropriate to me.
So inappropriate on so many levels.
On so many levels.
It's so inappropriate. Yeah. He wouldn't let me help him either. He didn't trust me. Like, if he would make a stain on his shirt and he's like, I would like want to help him. And he's like, no, I would just want my mom to do it.
Yikes. Yeah, no, not good. But anyway, you were claiming that guy too, and that was its own thing.
Oh my god, this is the episode for tangents. Love it.
Love you guys. Thank you for letting us be on these tangents.
No, but these are the things I would want to know.
Yeah, of course.
This is why I like solo episodes on the podcast I listen to, because I want to know the details of that one time they got lost out at a gas station, and like, I don't know. Like, that kind of stuff just makes people. So anyway, yeah. Adam and I have lots of stories to tell, but yeah, I love that.
I think that was the thing, though, for both of us that really changed us. And I guess, so for me, that's a little bit of a cheat, because like, that really is the thing that I needed. But also, like, it is the biggest thing that you taught me. And so it's like, obviously, I needed to meet you in the time that I did, because I mean, only a year and a half later, we were dating, basically, yeah, from 19, because I just turned 21.
Yeah.
So like, it was all right in that season. So it's like that you coming into my life was the delivery of the news that I needed to give myself from now. And like, you were the embodiment of that actually happening for me.
So next question. If I remember correctly, you have a personal values list, which she's talking about my three tenets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have one as a couple?
Not that I'm aware of. Do we have one as a couple?
We do.
Where can I find this document?
I have it tramp stamped on the back of your ball sack.
Jeez. The one place I can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. I tranquilized you. And actually, when you got roofied in Canada,
it was you that roofied me.
Yeah, it was me. Wow. Do you want to know what it is?
I won't be able to read it myself.
Can you imagine? Jesus. And it was just like, love each other.
No consent necessary in France.
Oh my god.
They'll tattoo anybody.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's not tattooed on your ball sack. And no, we don't have one specific tenet. However, I do like this question. I do think Adam and I have one of the most special, unique relationships.
Yeah, me too.
That exist. And I'm very thankful for it. I'm really grateful. Just like any couple, you compare yourselves to other couples. And I'm like, we stack up pretty nice. the thing is, too, like,
we like other couples' dynamics. There's just certain things that we're like, oh, wow. I love that for them, but I would not want that.
The other day, well, yeah, even my sister and I talked about it. We're like, I could not handle the shit sandwich that she handles. And she couldn't handle the shit sandwich that I handle. Like, with Adam, it's just like what you can handle. That being said, the other day, we were talking.
Mine's more like a finger sandwich, right?
Like a little sandwich, just a little sandwich. Shit sandwich, just a little toad sandwich, just a little sandwich, just a little smeared.
Like tea time sandwiches, like, yeah, the little finger one.
Exactly.
Like
baby shit sandwich. Well, we were saying the other day that we were talking about who's like alpha in our relationship.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, yeah, maybe you're like a little bit more alpha than I am. And you're like, I don't know. And I was like, what, you think I'm more alpha? And you're like, no, I think we're just like really balanced.
Yeah, I don't think there's a need for a dynamic of an alpha.
But that being said, I think that speaks volumes of our relationship, because, and this is what I said then, is because our relationship, or sorry, our personalities are not void.
Mm.
of the ability to buck up against an alpha. And
oh, for sure.
And buck up against somebody trying to...
Both our personalities were built alongside alphas.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean, like, if anyone tried to control me, or if I got any feeling like there was, like, somebody was over me trying to, like, whatever... Yeah. You bet your ass, like, you're going to be dealing with a monster, which is me.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll just leave.
And and Adam...
You'll just look back and...
Adam is on the other side where it's like, he wouldn't be a monster, but, like, he'd be gone. Like, you would never, like, see him. So both in our own ways and in our own rights, like, we would buck up against somebody who mm-hmm. wasn't the right person. So I will say, like, you know, as much as I'm always like, oh, our relationship is perfect and we're amazing and we are... But I think we have found, like, the right people, because I don't think, like, as good as we are in our relationship, and we're going to give you tips and stuff, like, I think it's also, like, sometimes it really does come down to being in the right dynamic.
Well, I think something that was a really important piece that not a lot of people that I've seen are actually aware of is the fact that the person who did the study on wolves that established the idea of an alpha in a pack of wolves was studying them in captivity, and actually went back after the fact, after the research data was submitted, and recanted his statements about the need for an alpha and the establishment of an alpha in a pack, because it was only a symptom of this, basically a mental illness of these dogs because they were in captivity.
Stop.
That's
so
the
because
only,
of our freedom.
Yes. The control mechanism caused the need for an alpha, and that, when they were in the wild, it was a constant movement of who was leading and who was following.
So when you have freedom, when you're living in nature, when you're living aligned with just nature,
there is no alpha.
Stop.
There's leadership in moments that need it. There is
because the right leaders in the right moments step
up.
Right,
they're time.
Like, I'm the hunter. I'm stronger. I'm more cunning. I can figure out better paths to, like, find water. I can make a better path for, like, our bed here. Yep. Like that. Oh, that's, like, beautiful.
Yes.
That's so beautiful.
It's so important. And I feel like that information has been squashed so heavily that, like, this guy literally came back and was constant. I mean, spent the rest of his life trying to disprove that this alpha theory.
Gosh.
And, like, it's just such a testament to healthy relationships not need. Like I said, we don't need an alpha. We don't need somebody who's, like, got the ultimate authority on something, because we will lead in the places that we are best suited to lead between the both of us and Patchouli. She'll lead when she thinks she's supposed to too.
No, never.
Like never. That is going to be what drives the patterns of how we interact with one another. And I think that that's such a sign of a healthy relationship.
That is so beautiful. Like, when did you learn that?
I don't know, 8-9 months ago.
Oh my God. That's so, I love that so much. Ooh, like
I know,
nerding
now
out
I'm
on
like,
that.
I gotta pull up the document. I gotta, like, tag all of the research papers.
Oh my
and
gosh,
stuff.
I love that so, so much. So yeah, that's a great example of what I was like even trying to say. So yeah, when you're, like, living in, like, a natural cycle, when you're, like, living, there's no need for one alpha. It's just, like, you step up whenever you need to step up in those circumstances. So okay, now all that being said, there are things as a couple that Adam and I do, I'd say, differently than some others. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and things that might surprise you that I think might add to our relationship, might give it that dynamic. So, the other day, I keep saying the other day, but, like, we talk a lot. We're married. So,
we are with each other as often as possible.
So, we were talking about pet names.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't tell you I was going to talk about this, but I keep thinking about it ever since we've talked about it. I keep rehashing the conversation in my head, which is who I am. But Adam and I don't, like, not intentionally, really, but we don't say babe.
Mm-hmm.
We have our entire relationship called each other our names. Like, that's Adam. Like, he calls me Elle. Like, that's my nickname.
If I say Lauren, you're always like,
I'm like, what?
What do you want?
No, but you say it, like, on the podcast when you're, like, talking about me when Lauren, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It does, like, sometimes shock
me. But if I'm, like, yelling through that, I was like, Lauren.
I'm like, what? What are you yelling at me for?
It's like I said your middle name.
Yeah, I'm like, what? No, when you say my middle name, it's always sweet. But he calls me L. And then the only other, like, pet name that we say is, like,
I'll say, hey, beautiful.
And yeah. And I say, hey, handsome. I'm like, hey, handsome. So like those mm-hmm. two things that are just different that I think are random. But the other day I was like, you know, in all my other relationships, I was called babe. I called them babe. And at the end of the relationship, when I look back on it, I'm like, I like only ever called them babe. Like mm-hmm. I never called them by their name. And this is random, I know, but I think there is something to it that like they just become...
They can become yours.
Your babe.
They're so yours much. Now. They're not their like, own identity
hey babe,
anymore.
My babe. Like, yeah. It's whatever. And I, the reason why we brought it up is because I wouldn't mind every once in a while Adam calling me like, you know, hey, baby, like, you know, something sweet.
Occasionally you like when you hear me talk about my wife.
I like that every once in a while. That's nice. When we first got married, I hated it, which so that's its own journey. But now I love it. And so the more I've been thinking about that, the more I think it actually does have something to do with just who we are and how we see each other. I really do think we see each other so much as individuals and not as like, I don't know. I don't see you as like, this is like old news, but like we're not two halves of a whole, right? Mm-hmm. Like I just see you as such a whole person that, you know, when I call you handsome, I'm just like, I'm just describing you. I'm
I want to add something. I want something to have value to you that I'd say.
And this isn't to say that like, again, it hasn't been intentional that I'm like, oh, let's not call each other babe. So we're not claiming each other. It's
never felt right to me.
It's never been intentional. Never.
Mm-hmm. Well, because specifically the conversation even rooted out of, I was like, okay, let me think about trying to do that. I was like, what kind of context do you want me to call you this? Like what? Because like, it's not going to be always like, you don't want me to be like, hey babe, in every situation.
And I did nix babe. I don't like babe. I do like baby would be okay.
Yeah.
But like babe, I've had that in all my relationships. Mm-hmm. And hearing that, it just sounds like it sounds like a nag to me. Like babe, hand that to me. Babe.
Interesting.
Hey babe. Like,
yeah.
It sounds like you want something. It sounds like you need something. It's like...
It's so short and pointed.
Yes. It just like sonically, it's just in my experience. It's honestly like, just with my... babe. Like, I don't know. So anyway, it's kind of a tangent, but I have been thinking about that lately and I think it points to how we see each other. And it's just, we really see each other as individuals outside of our relationship.
That's so insightful.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought of that. And I didn't know you were thinking so deeply about it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it.
It's so funny because I really have been, I've been thinking about how to integrate it into the way that I refer to you. But like,
because I brought it up and was like, oh, it would be cute if you called me like baby sometimes.
Well, there's already enough things that I'm like, I don't really know how to do that. Like role play. I'm like, I don't know how to integrate that into my life.
And I think
I'm like,
that's why I wanted
I'm trying to take little baby steps into like, how do I become somebody specific for the circumstance that I'm in with you because it's something that you want.
And I did want it. And like, I think just now, not just now, but I think as I've been reflecting, it's been something where I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I need it. Like, I think I'm okay. Like, why do I need it?
Yeah.
And what does it mean to me? And what does it mean that we haven't so far? And I think that's like why I got to that point.
Is there like a part of it that you would even think that you want to reclaim? Like, is it you're wanting to reclaim those words?
No, because I hear other people calling each other babe and it just doesn't ring true to me. Like, it's just like, I feel like it does make our relationship special that like we aren't just a babe. Like, you aren't a babe. Like, people know who I'm talking to when I say Adam. Like, everybody in the room knows who you are. It's not babe to the void. It's like Adam. And I don't know. I just like, it's part of what I will say that everyone who meets me and Adam, like in a public setting, social setting, whatever, like they're surprised that we're married. And I think part of that is because we don't say babe. Like, I think part of that is that we don't act like an old married couple. Like,
interesting.
People who've been dating for like 6 weeks.
We're not just like hanging on each other and we're not each other's social crutches. We're not like,
well, we are around each other, but sometimes not. We just don't, I don't know. There's no codependency in our relationship.
And there's no jealousy and there's no like you and I could literally, we split the party and we go talk from end to end. And there's never like we'll see each other.
Usually just hanging out by the cheese puff somewhere.
And I'm getting all my extrovert energy out.
Help. I'm like, cheese puffs, save me.
You're like,
if I have cheese puffs, if I like fit cheese puffs into my mouth like a squirrel with nuts. I'm like, people can't talk to me, right?
Exactly.
The amount of times I fucking talk about cheese puffs at parties, I can't even tell you.
I have never been around this conversation because clearly it happens when I'm not around. He's You're like I'm by myself. Where's the cheese puffs?
Literally, the past two out of three parties I've gone to recently, I am the girl with the cheese puffs.
Well, I'm glad they've had cheese puffs for you.
I know. I know.
That's very helpful.
It's crazy. I'm like, oh my God, there's cheese puffs. And I was like, well, I know.
We're going to
I'm
millennial parties now.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I had that thought the other day. I was like, oh my God, these are millennial parties. Like, we have cheese puffs.
I think one of the other things that we do as a couple too is, and I know we've talked about this a lot recently, is that we avoid like, not nagging, but like avoid correction and pointing out small things. Like the best way that I can really like, the best way that I can frame it in my mind is that we approach our relationship in good faith. Like we believe the best about each other. And I feel like we actively take those steps to avoid reactivity and get into responsiveness to one another. So we're like actively listening. We're not making snap judgments and snap. We're not saying things to each other reactively where it's like right in the moment we're responding to our emotions. Like we are very specific about maintaining our composure during our conversations and during any sort of like things that we go through. And I think that's so important. It's like such a small little piece that triggers a waterfall of problems in relationships.
We assume the best. We assume the other person is trying and doing their best. Like genuinely, there are no bad faith actors here. Like you said in good faith. Like I do think that is maybe our like top thing.
And it's not always easy. Like I want to be clear. There are times where we get in arguments or something. Such rare times that we get in arguments, but when we do, or like even a certain little snap thing will happen and I get in my head and I start telling myself stories about, you know, whatever, I'm getting myself all worked up and frustrated. And like, all I have to do to get rid of the frustration and the anger is to reorient myself around like, believe the best about her.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe the best about her in this situation, what is her motivation?
Mm-hmm.
And like, realize that the moment that you stop actively cultivating fear, or not fear, but anger in your own mind, the anger is already gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it is already gone. You are specifically generating new anger with the things you're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about like things like similarly where I work through it on my own.
I say all the time to myself, but like to people when they ask about our relationship and I'm like, I'm sure I do 1,000 things a day that are extremely annoying to Lauren, but she's never going to point them out. And I will do the same. Like I'm sure there's little things that I could just like, that I do that are like my dirty socks are somewhere or I've left my towel on the bed rather than, you know, whatever, yada, yada, yada. So many things, crumbs in the toaster. There's a million different things that we could each do in a day that is just like for you, if I did those things, you're like, it's just such a small thing. Couldn't you think about me in this moment?
Yeah.
But to believe of one another that we are thinking about each other in all the moments that we possibly can be.
Yeah.
And just believing that those moments are the lapses in between is just such an easy reorientation.
I think the biggest thing, because we do talk about stuff that like could make our lives easier, better, smoother, less frustrating, less having to work through things on our own. I think the advice here that I would give is that you don't need to correct somebody. And, you know, women are the word that's used for us is nag, right? For correcting, overcorrecting, whatever. I don't correct unless or until either I feel like I really, really, really need to. And usually that when I really, really need to is when I see something's becoming a habit.
You see a pattern.
I see a pattern. So yeah, the one time I'm like, so yeah, your socks are left on the floor. Okay, that's fine. Until I see that's happening every single day for a week or whatever, I'm like, just going to pick it up. I'm like, he's probably rushing. What if he had a bad dream and he couldn't sleep? What if I literally go through all the things that possibly like could be the case as to why that happened on that day. Like I'm not going to bring
100%.
It up because it's not like, you know what to do. Like me being like, on one day that, okay, we're just saying a stupid thing, but like you leave your socks out somewhere, whatever. The one day that you do that and I like bring it up, you're probably going to give me a reason why like it happened. Sure. And you know that it goes in the laundry hamper. I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know.
Yeah.
So unless, and I think that's the other, that's like the end point of it is that, so until it becomes a habit, don't bring it up. And the other thing to think about before you bring something up is, do they already know what I'm about to say? Like, do they already know where to put their socks? Like, do they already know that I like them to do this, or I want them to shut the window before they leave or whatever? Do they already know? Okay. So if they already know what to do or how to do whatever it is,
and they love and care about me,
then I need to figure out how I can bring it up in a non-condescending way, in a way that like I can help alleviate whatever is like, whatever's happening that they're leaving their socks on the floor or they're forgetting the window. I'm like, hey, do I need to go to bed a little earlier so you can get up earlier so that you don't rush out the door and forget to close the window? Mm-hmm. Like,
how can I make your whole morning better so that this kind of circumstance doesn't happen?
If you can't do that, if you can't work through those steps and think about why it is they're doing something when you know they know the right thing to do, then you're not ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
Unless you're able to think through how you can help alleviate your problem, right? So if I have a problem with the socks on the ground, that's my problem. That I'm like, I don't like the socks on the ground. I don't like them being left out. If I'm not willing to go through how I can help him so that he doesn't leave socks on the ground, like to begin with in that conversation, then I'm not ready to have that conversation.
Yeah.
If I'm just going to berate him and tell him where to put his socks, he's just going to be mad because he knows where to put his socks. Like, he's not an idiot. I'm not going to gaslight him. I'm not going to belittle him. We're going to have a conversation.
And I think too, that like that will be fostered and that will become apparent in your relationship, because this is another thing that you and I both really try to practice is apologize for the little things and say thank you for the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always want to like, if I notice anything, I want to say thank you. Like, thank you for making the bed today. Thank you for,
opening the windows.
Thank you for, you know, whatever, little things, like not just like, oh man, the house is clean. Thanks for doing that. Like, that's like a big thing.
Nice.
And that's like also super nice, of course. But like, I feel like it's the small things that you notice. And like, especially for me, I'm like, if I know, because I always know when I don't do something, and that's, and I think that's a, like, I know when I've, for example, left my socks on the floor that morning, I could just forget about it. And I probably will, because like you are so amicable in that kind of relationship, or in that kind of like dynamic
situation
that like, I'll just take care of it next time. And so maybe I'll just forget about it. But also like, if you think about it, if I think about it and it's like, I'm like, I look in the bathroom and I'm like, blink, blink, blink. There's no socks there anymore. I'm just seeing the little outline of them. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking about the thing. And that's where I can say, thank you for taking care of that for me. I'm sorry I left them out. It was a crazy morning. I rushed around. And if I can
being able to address where you have potentially, quote unquote, messed up, I think is important. I think so many people are scared to be vulnerable and show that they like made a mistake in a relationship.
They think it's like going to be hidden if you don't talk about it.
Yeah, if I don't bring it up, then they'll forget that they put my socks away. Like, no, bitch. Like, I had to pick up your dirty socks. Like, I'm not forgetting. So if you bring it up, it means a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like, and you do that so well too. I mean, there's so many instances where.
By the way, this is a stupid example. I don't get mad at him about his socks.
My feet do smell bad.
That's true.
I do have to wash them specifically after work every single day, but that's its own thing.
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't want people thinking like we actually fight we have about arguments. Socks. We don't.
We have literally almost no arguments ever. So it's almost funny for us to like
come up with things.
Try to come. Yeah, that's why we come up with stupid things, because we're like, I don't really have like a. The only things that I think that, and I think this was one of the questions, like, do we ever argue? Is like, we argue about X. I can't even say argue. Argue isn't even the right word. We
argue means fight, and we don't fight.
No, we approach things from the same side. Like, I think that when you and I are talking about something, we at least the orientation that we take at the beginning of our conversations that are, that may lead into something that's escalated emotionally, we are approaching it trying to solve a problem together.
Yeah.
Like we always do. We're trying to have big open conversations about things. And the only things that ever lead to us having like actual frustration at the end of it, where we have to walk away from the conversation and not have it wrapped up nicely and like find our agreement or find our disagreement.
Yeah.
Is when it's like a really big existential thing.
So, yeah. So that does lead into that question. So we can kind of move from there. I think the original question that we were going on about was like, do we have a tenant? And we just kind of gave you the synopsis of like our relationship. I think there was like multiple things within there mm-hmm. that I think you can take that I really believe are like our biggest elements of our relationship that make our relationship so different. And then, yeah, leading into the next question of like, what do you argue about? And, you know, yeah, like you were saying, in full transparency, the things that we fought about in the beginning, or not the beginning, but like a couple years ago, was about finances and,
mm-hmm. and not even like finances with each other, just issues that arise from a lack of money.
Yeah. And
or a lack of access to money. It's not even like current.
Yeah. I mean,
bank account
for the first like 3-4 years of our marriage, we were like
literally living below the poverty line,
living below poverty.
Yeah.
So
while we were recording the podcast, we were like scrounging together all the things we had and sitting in our hood rat house trying to have conversations with like doctors and authors and like successful people. And we're like
literally
stopping, listening out the window for a second. Like, do we need to duck from those gunshots or are those far enough away?
No, we actually were recording the podcast, and like there was a month we like didn't buy groceries, and like we were recording on our little, anyway, it's crazy. The things we've been through. But finances are hard. And I do think like if you're living below the poverty line, like I'm sorry, but like that's probably gonna be a stressor in your life. Like that's just, you're probably gonna fight about it. That's just how it goes.
Or you're gonna fight about something that's in the periphery of not having money.
Yeah. So yeah, that was rough. We worked through a lot though, because we both had like money problems too and trust issues within
that. But even that though, like we didn't I imagine that some people can take that and say, like, you were in 3 or 4 years of not having money. And so throughout those 3 or 4 years, you fought frequently about money. And that's not the case at all. We had...
I would say it was like, I don't know, like 7 times that we've fought about money.
Like ever.
In our whole relationship.
And we've been together for 7 years.
But those
years.
Were big fights. I mean, there were some big fights.
It was this... And I think the thing is like, especially when you can't resolve those things, when you're in that kind of position, you can't resolve that. It's not that you're having 7 different fights. You're having the same fight 7 ways.
Yes. Yes.
And
so
that's
true.
Like, and that became apparent to us by the last time we ever had the conversation. We knew when we had wrapped
it
up.
We're like, oh my God, we were so frustrated. We're like, this is the same fucking conversation.
Yeah.
Why, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, what do we need to do different?
And we changed how we both existed.
Yeah.
And not with one another. And not, there wasn't like some sort of intimacy shift or some sort of like responsibility shift. I think that we just decided, and this is back to like manifesting almost,
yeah.
that we decided that we were no longer going to be those people.
Yeah. Yeah. And that we could go into, that's like a whole thing.
We weren't going to have that argument anymore. And because we weren't going to be the people that needed to have that argument anymore. And from that time on, it completely changed for us.
It really did. And we, like, let us know if you guys want us to know, like, get into more of that, like money stuff and then also career stuff. And we can talk about ways we've like really up leveled, which actually I guess that is a question.
Yeah,
we
can get to it later on.
We can get to it later on. But yeah, so we fought about that, and then sex. So we like fight about, no, I wouldn't call that fights actually.
Yeah. I was going to say it's still not fights, just like
disagreements. Adam wants sex and I'm like, I'm not feeling it in seasons, dry seasons. Like it's not like, and it's not, it's a big conversation that we could have again, like girl sex drive versus guy sex drive. Like that conversation has been beat over our heads, and that's not true for everybody. Like,
well, and it's like, it leads back to the conversations we've had in the past too, about like your partner's sexual responsibility to your satisfaction and like all of those kind of things. Like,
yeah,
there are a lot of pieces to even that conversation.
I would say those conversations are more based out of like, they're not fights. They're more like, very vulnerable insecurities. Like we'll have like conversations where we're like kind of dissecting ourselves and like, you know, what's going on right now? Like, why are we like more in a dry spell? Okay, it's going to come back around. It's fine.
Because it's oriented around a solution. It's not like one of us is saying one thing to the other. And like,
we're not hurting each other's feelings.
We're not
on
fighting
purpose.
From opposite sides. We're not like, well, I want this and I want this. And we just have different ideas.
I think
like,
that's why we don't say we fight, because like, there has never been anything that we have never, well, again, we did with the money conversations. There were times that we would, like, I think we'd say things to hurt each other. And that was like the only time we have ever done that. And it was horrible. Like, again, I think that probably happened like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Any actual heated ones, I would say 2 or 3.
Yeah. Adam would do it the most. And it was so weird because Adam's like such a sweet, kind soul that it was so disorienting. Cause I'm like, where is this coming from? And we had a lot of like, let's trust things we had to work through when it comes to money. We both had such weird money stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we're still like obviously working through. But yeah. So then that, again, these questions all are like snowballing into the next questions. And another question was talking about like seasons of your marriage, like of having like drier spells and sex. And I think for us personally, it hasn't gotten worse since like we first got married. Like it's never been.
No. And I think it's important too, to kind of preface how our relationship started sexually, because I don't think that that's something that everybody's necessarily talked or heard us talk about specifically. And just like as coming from
our last solo conversation together, we talked about it.
That was a fun episode. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And I think other people did
too. It was really lighthearted, but.
But I think to kind of like just at least give us the trail from the beginning is that like we started in a place where we had been victims of purity culture in so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah, we had. When we first got married, like I really thought like sex was just going to be so easy. I was really sexual. I felt really sexual like growing up and had those desires and all that. And I think when we first got married, we struggled with intercourse and that like fucked with my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like punished by a deity, like because I had done other things with other guys. I'm like, that was the purity culture still living very much in my brain.
Yeah.
Thinking I was being punished. And like, yeah, it was just like, I don't know. I was really like fucked up in the brain about it. And then that led us to like, what is sex? So then we did other stuff that wasn't intercourse and that was great. And then again, that was like part of our deconstruct story.
Yeah, it really was.
So I think in the beginning, just it being a struggle, figuring our bodies out together in that way, like it set us off to a point where we're like, we had to work at it.
Yeah. We had to put in a lot of effort. And I think the thing is too, is like my experience too prior to us being married was like pornography was never a thing for me. And so then like even coming into a marriage, I'm like, I finally get to have sex. Like I'm going to have sex that I want to have. And so then to immediately jump into like where it's like, it's difficult. It's different than I expected it to be. The being in a dating relationship with you was different than being in a married relationship because we were still abstaining from intercourse. And so like we were still having sex, but we weren't specifically having intercourse. And so like, then once that shift happened, then it was like, there were so many
moving pieces,
so many moving parts to where it was like, and I think that the beginning of our relationship, there was a lot of intentionality around how to evolve our sex life into something that was manageable and sustainable. And now it's gotten to a place where it's enjoyable and fun. And like we have more spontaneity with it, but we have more familiarity and we have different places where we connect. And our intimacy grows physically in so many other ways.
Yeah.
Because we hug and touch and kiss and like we have deep conversations. And there's so many other places that our intimacy is satiated.
Yeah.
That like it isn't the forefront of the driver that's going to bring us. We don't need that to instigate intimacy for us like some couples do.
Yeah. I think for sure. Now, we do enjoy sex and we do have sex.
Yeah.
But there are seasons where it's like it'll be a hot minute that we haven't had sex and then we have the conversation of like, "Hey, what's up?" And it's like a check-in, but that check-in is so vulnerable. Like it's so like
Yeah, it really is the worst.
You feel like just silly, like you feel vulnerable being like
Yeah.
You want some of this or like, no, like,
well, and I think so much of that, even for you, I know because of your past relationships and things like that. And for me, just my self identity, my self worth is specifically so wrapped up in needing to be wanted and chosen. And so it's like, there's just these, dynamics that are always going to be at play.
And it's yeah. There's so many purity culture stuff too, like the autonomy of like not having sex. I didn't think I even had that autonomy, mm-hmm. you know, because I thought it was like my responsibility. You get into marriage
and it's like,
So when I deconstructed and realized it wasn't my responsibility, then I like kind of was like dried up. I was like, I don't need to do anything. And like, I don't know. I think that was a whole nother of working through. I'm like, okay, but I want it. So like, get it when you want it.
Yeah.
And I think like the question was like, how do you deal with like dry spells? Can you give advice on sex slowing down in a marriage? I think, okay. Yeah. So the advice really is to talk about it, and it's like vulnerable. Like it is just a really vulnerable thing to say or to like to bring up, is talking about your sex, like, desires and like where you're at, and being self-reflective too of like why you aren't wanting it right now. Like for me personally, I'm very much affected by my hormones. Look, I'm not saying like all girls are like this and all guys are like that, whatever. I'm just saying in my personal experience between Adam and I, like Adam has told me he could have sex every single day and he's good with that. And he would love that. And his life would be amazing. Okay. So he's typical man in that. In a lot of ways in our relationship, we are not typical, but in this part of our relationship, we're pretty fucking typical, like your stereotypical man and wife. Okay. He wants sex like every day. He would have it like every day. Hmm. And for me, it goes really based off of my hormones. So when I'm ovulating, I want to have sex like for about 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
That's literally my hormones. And it's just makes me want to have sex. And then that's 5 days out of 30 days. So then the rest of 30 days, I'm like, okay, like I could. And so
we're
do.
If we're going like 36 hours apart, you're like, we can have sex about 2.5 times depending on.
Yeah.
Depending on the month.
I feel like I get inspired and I get turned on randomly throughout the month, but like my pure sex drive is fully turned on for about 5 days of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And like we take advantage of that clearly. And obviously, and then the rest of the month, I just like honestly go with our, like the time that we have, which is usually a fucking weekend because we don't have that much time really together. So yeah, you'll find me and Adam fucking on a weekend.
Saturday specifically. We don't even have a full weekend.
Probably Saturday morning. Yeah. It's usually how it goes.
Saturday morning is the only morning that we have.
It's literally our only morning that's like chill. So yeah. I think talk about it and recognize your hormones and.
Well, I think too, it's also like, I think there needs to be a specific conversation, which we've kind of recently had around, there's a difference between intimacy, physical intimacy, and sex specifically, at least for me. And so like, I think so many of those things can be moving parts that a lot of people can kind of wrap into the same thing where they're like, I'm feeling intimately fulfilled. Like my partner does fulfill that in me. And I mean, I'm like,
you can talk specifically, like, and for me, like that's how it felt for me. Like, is that what you're talking about? Like a couple of weeks ago when I was like, whenever we're just hanging out and we're touching all over each other, I feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
In a way that like, we had to talk through that because I felt in this season where I didn't need sex or an orgasm or intercourse or like those specific things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel I needed those things to feel fulfilled, loved, desired. Okay. Yeah. So I was like in that season. I truly felt like all those things fulfilled, desired in our like touching each other, flirting with each other, like me getting on top of him and just like kind of kissing him and then like jumping off and then playing video games and then, like biting his arm, like flashing him, like twerking on him, like that filled the quote unquote void for me. Like I was like, yeah, I feel sexually fulfilled.
Yeah.
In that season where I wasn't like needing an orgasm or intercourse, like that worked for me.
Yeah.
And in that conversation, he's like, those things are great.
Those are amazing.
That's not sex.
Well, I think there was a specific conversation that we have had too, which I think is important for couples to have, is that like, if you want to inspire that in your partner, make sure that they know that there's no obligation to complete that process once they've started.
On the flip side of that,
like, just because they get physical, just because you get turned on, either partner, doesn't mean that you have to go all the way. Like, And that's been amazing for us because it really opened up so much physical intimacy in our life. Just like
just day to day.
Yeah, totally. There's like it because can constantly happen and we can constantly be turning each other on and we can constantly be having these physical interactions without being the obligation of sex if I'm going to initiate something.
But there was a season, yeah, that I was like nervous to like come on to him because I was like, but I don't feel like having sex. And we had the conversation. He's like, okay.
I was like, yeah, this was at the prime beginning when we were still like freshly coming out of
purity culture.
Yeah. Purity culture, Christianity stuff.
Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Wait a second. So like, are you under the impression that you have to,
like, I have to like finish the job.
The only point of physical intimacy is to make sure it leads to sex.
No, literally you guys, literally. I thought if a guy gets a boner, I have to do something about it. I'm not kidding. Like,
that's terrible.
No, it's not even an exaggeration.
For anybody listening to this, that is not the case. And if it is the case, you need to have a real, real conversation really quick because that is so inappropriate.
Yeah. I literally didn't know that was inappropriate. Like, that was so ingrained in me that like even saying it, I'm like, yeah, that's like, I don't, it's
that
like.
That is coercion.
So easy to.
That is just, yeah. Yeah. Abuse. That to me feels abusive.
So yeah, that's fucked up. It's so crazy. Yeah, that's literally what I felt. And I felt that way throughout the beginning of our relationship, not because of Adam, but because of like purity culture and just other stuff in my life. So yeah, I thought I had something to do with it. So anyway, and then again, we keep saying like on the flip side. So now that we have this intimacy flowing and all this, I asked him the other day, I was like, hey, because I'm fulfilled in that sometimes and like, it fills up my cup, if you will. then do you want me to do it less? Like I asked him, I was like, do you want me to do it less? Like, am I giving you blue balls? Like too much?
That's not even real. Just to be clear. That's just a manipulation tactic.
See,
that's another thing that I'm like, I mean, maybe at some extreme level it's real, but it is not, that is not
like a thing,
not a thing.
You're just wanting to, yeah. Yeah. Get something done. Yeah. So anyway, and you're like, no, like you can keep playing around with me and it's fine.
No. And I love that about our relationship. Like I love that there's intellectual intimacy paired with physical intimacy paired with sexual intimacy. Like those are three different pieces.
Yes. But I think that was the conversation is to me, I thought it was sexual intimacy.
Physical intimacy was sexual intimacy.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, yeah, but sex.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Okay, I hear you. Like it is different. Like yeah. I'm not gonna pretend that it is sex, but it was fulfilling in that season. It was fulfilling that because I didn't have intercourse needs. I didn't have orgasm needs. So I was like, this is doing it for me. Now I understand that's not actually doing it for us like all the time. So
well, I think the thing is it's not that it doesn't feel that for me. It's that it is the one thing that we have that is different than other relationships.
Okay, you say that, but nobody else is flashing their titties at you, twerking on you, biting
of
you.
Of course, of course, of course, of course.
Sticking their hand down your pants. And if they are, I will fucking come for you.
She will find you.
I will find you.
Run.
No, literally. I will be crazy. You don't want me crazy.
Remember, from the last
episode together, I don't share.
You're right, you're right. For sure. I guess I mean like prior to, and you know this even coming from theater environments, like prior to a marriage, prior to a fully committed relationship, like
prior to your serious monogamous relationship.
Yes. That was it was not to the level that it's at, but it's a piece of interpersonal relationships with friends.
I got you. Not to the level. Like you didn't have titties rubbing all over you. But I know what you're saying. Like people sat on people's laps, musical theater. It was kind of like, you know, you would kiss each other on the lips sometimes, just be like, mwah, like.
And that was my only real social experience because I was so antisocial until my senior year. And then I joined theater and that was like, oh, this is what it's like to have friends.
Yeah. And let me tell you right now, though, like musical theater has its fucking problems.
It's very incestuous.
Like it has its problems.
Yes,
so I,
of course.
So
of
we
course.
Can't even say that's not,
it's
let me just say right now, it's not a part of friendships.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand that now in the context of having a monogamous relationship, but my perspective,
if you're single and you're all acting like that, that's fine. You're all like wanting to fuck. Like,
yeah.
That's its own thing. But if you're not single, if you're in a monogamous relationship, you don't do that in friendships. You just don't, right, Adam?
Yeah.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's Ollie.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I have never flashed anybody my tits. What? Not once. I said I have never flashed anybody my tits. Not once.
Yeah. Sure.
Yet.
Sure.
We'll see.
Tits not tip.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so...
So to me, that was a dynamic of friendships. And so it felt like, it can feel like to me, a piece of something that I have had in the past that I have never had before, or that I still continue to have. And sex is the thing that I have never had before in a relationship.
Next question. Any new ideas you've been thinking about lately or ways you feel like you're being expanded? Woo! We actually get so excited about this question. Mm-hmm.
I feel like, first of all, like, as we kind of had breached the conversation earlier about finances, we've really oriented ourselves in a new way around how we even think about money. It's not spending versus saving. What is
circulating,
mm-hmm,
and versus your financial priority.
Yes.
So, and yeah, that's something that I talked about on my solo episode, was like changing the way we talk about money. Yeah. Literally, Adam and I can't even begin to explain to you. Like, I'm going to try, obviously. That's what I'm doing right now.
Cut the podcast there. I can't even explain it to you.
I can't even explain to you.
All right. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Bye.
Okay. So it's hard to explain how drastically different our mindsets have been this year in 2024. And I say 2024 because literally Patchouli tried to fucking off herself.
Again.
The
part two.
12/30. So it was
kidney
like
the first time, December, liver the second.
I think it was like December 30th. So it was the very end of 2023. And we're like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. This dog wants to cost us all the money in the world. So anyway, we're not going to, honestly.
Yes, we're talking about you.
She says boring. She yawned. So, okay. So that really threw us for a loop, because we're like, again, we have to spend money on her. So we couldn't just be like, this always happens to us. I literally got up off the couch when we said that. I like ran off the couch when we're like, I guess this is just how things are. We can never catch up. We can never be a check ahead. We can never blah, blah, blah. We were saying those things. And I literally felt like I could have jumped out of my skin. Like, I wanted to be out of my experience. I was like, then I need a new reality. If this is my quote unquote reality, I need a new reality. I'm doing it, whatever it costs. Do a spell, do a like a hex, anything, whatever.
Blood ritual.
Literally anything. I didn't care. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And just my mentality, I couldn't do it anymore. And so that was the moment that everything started shifting for us, because we're like, well, then what needs to change? What mindsets do we need to change? The way we speak about money needs to change. The way we spend money. And one of the biggest things we did was, well, again, there's a couple things, but all this year we have said not so much what our budget is, but we talked about what our financial priority was.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been really busy and hustling. We're both like doing a lot of things right now and we're loving it. But because of that, we also have a busier schedule. And now with the busy schedule, you get only a limited time to sleep and to eat and do all these things. So
we're literally having to budget 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah, we knew places. We had to take care of ourselves in this season of like hustling and being really busy. We're like, we can't slack in our health or in the way we're spending our time or our money in any way. So what's crazy is that one of the first things that we changed was that we stopped drinking alcohol.
We basically went sober. I mean, we're not sober. We're not like locked in on that, but
no, there's no like morale about it.
I think I could count on one hand how many drinks I've had this year.
Yeah. It's been such a game changer in a way that feels like there's something like energetically, like there's something to,
because we didn't change it because of the alcohol. We changed it because of literally the data on your Oura Ring when you were sleeping at night. We're like, if we're budgeting nine hours of time to sleep so that we can recover, so that we can be ready to get up and go and do the thing.
Then I can't be bothered with alcohol.
You drink a quarter of a glass of wine and your sleep is just screwed.
It's just really screwed. So we're like, well, that's annoying. My heart rate's like through the roof. I can't recover well. And I'm like,
your recovery drops to like 60% from 90%.
I'm trying to I'm trying to work out, but like I can't because then I'm like too tired in the morning and it's like, it fucks everything up.
Yep.
So I'm like,
for like 2 days.
Yeah. And Adam was finding the same thing was happening with him. And he was like,
I was waking up acidic all the time. If you are a guy and you deal with stress and you sometimes drink to like help mitigate some of that, and you wake up acidic all the time or feel acidic in your body,
and you think it's like just your stress,
it's not even necessarily the caffeine. I still drink coffee on occasion.
Because you stopped caffeine for a while thinking it was the caffeine.
Because I thought it was caffeine, and I was even worse than ever because I was just exhausted and still drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if it is something that you deal with, drop the alcohol.
It's actually crazy. Like I never thought I would be like saying this. I never thought that would be my perspective. Totally. Because I kind of judge people who are sober, which let's look at my history. If I get annoyed at anybody or judge people, I like become them.
Yeah. You're like, if I hate them, it's because I want to be
there. There's something about them that like rubs me the wrong way because there's something within my soul that knows like it's coming for me, you know, me. I'm actually predictable.
Who knew?
What do I hate right now? Oh my God. Scared.
Yikes.
Anything? I actually think I'm pretty chill right now. So that's good.
Well, that's good.
So we stopped drinking a whole lot. So we stopped spending like money, like on cocktails and stuff.
Well, I think that all happened too, though, because we were talking about priority.
We were talking about financial,
but also we were talking about the priorities in our lives.
Yeah.
And when you start using that language, it's gonna just expand out to everything else that you talk about. And we were talking about our health priority, and we were talking about our time priority. And as we're doing all these things, it just was the easy thing to cut off to resolve like
so many things,
half of our problems,
literally so many things. And I think, and again, this is something I talked about in my solo episode, but when a couple things that I've really wanted to do in my life and for my health is like, go to the chiropractor, but I would always be like, so much money. And then I look at how much we would spend on a night out drinking. Well, that was 2 appointments of a chiropractor, like right there. And like that.
And that's blown in one night and we're excited about it.
Exactly.
Except regretting it the next morning.
Yeah. But
you don't regret a chiropractor the next morning.
No. So I think that's when I was like, okay, so really it's not that I don't have the money, which there was times we already talked about in this episode, we did not have the money. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. So if that's where you're coming from, that's a whole different place. Okay. But it's not that I don't have the money. I thought I didn't. But it's because I was prioritizing other things. So anyway, that, and then prioritizing our health. I have always wanted to buy organic foods. Now I don't always get organic. I don't always get grass fed, but like that's my priority. Like I do prioritize that. And where do I get it? I prioritize buying my Instacart. Okay. That's another level of like what I prioritize. It's like speedy. My time is worth my money. All these things. Getting Instacart from Aldi, which is the most affordable groceries pretty much you can get, especially organic. So I'm not doing Instacart organic from Whole Foods. Like, and I could if I wanted to or needed to, but I'm like, where am I prioritizing things? Right. And it's really like figuring that out. Like, what is your priority and how you can make changes to prioritize those things? And what things are like not aiding you in any way. And for us, I mean, it was alcohol. Now again, we're not sober. I'm like literally going to Paris in a couple of days and like I'm gonna be drinking wine like in espresso martinis. It's happening, and I love an espresso martini, but I'm just like, we're not drinking like we were. And I think the next thing that I'd say that we've done and expanded on is, and it's all part of this mentality and all part of this positive new reality that we wanted to create for ourselves. Because of our relationship, Adam and I can be really insular. We can be we could go anywhere and do anything and feel like it's just him and I against
the world.
Well,
even like last time we went to France, speaking of France, we were like, we could literally be anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Like, I mean, granted, it was gorgeous and we enjoyed it and we made sure that we like took advantage of the time and the space to the full. But like, I could literally be in Illinois right now and I'd be having just as good of a time.
Yeah, it's true. Adam and I mean, it's just, We just like each other, you know? But we have a very adventurous spirit, like with the two of us, like that's been our, a through line for us, is that we get lost in our worlds together and it's incredible.
Well, we just create our own world so much.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In our worlds together. Yeah. And it's incredible. Mm-hmm. However, there are other ways that we wanted to expand ourselves because we see other people. One thing that we hadn't been good at as a couple that others have been, that we've like looked at other couples in like respecting what they do, is they bring other people into, well, I guess there's two sides to this, but some couples don't necessarily enjoy being around each other all the time. So they're always like looking out to be like, who else can I talk to? Who else can I bring into this conversation to make this more interesting?
Yeah.
So that's on the negative light, but I'm going to see it in the positive light, being like, oh, let's just like see the world around us and bring them into mm-hmm. our world. Mm-hmm. So that's how I take it. And I have in the past been like, how do people get these connections? How do people mm-hmm. meet all these people? How do they, you know, I felt like,
how do they generate like the energy of people wanting to talk to them?
How do they build community? Yeah. How are they building, like, how are they meeting people who want to help them? How are my friends meeting rich people? How are my friends meeting entrepreneurs? Like, how is that happening? It's not happening for me. And I think I'm pretty great and like I have good ideas and whatever. So like, what's the difference? So I think we realized that like, because we could be so satisfied with just the two of us when we're out, we are a bubble and we wanted to open up that bubble. So we decided that when we go out, we're very, very intentional. I mean, we still do our bubble, but when someone comes into our presence, like a waiter or a manager or anybody who comes around us and like gets their presence in our presence, we point all of our energy on them. Like it's such an energetic shift. We're like, hello, who are you? Tell us that. Well, we literally interview them. Like,
yeah.
As soon as they like are around us.
As much as they'll tolerate.
We'll like talk, but we're like, we just ask so much about them. We literally turn into our podcast selves, like in that moment. And one of the biggest things we've done with that is after we meet someone, we're so intentional about like remembering their name and not forgetting, like not being like, I'm Lauren, I'm Adam, what's
like,
your name?
Literally, forgetting. I feel like this is the thing that started the whole pointing our energy outward, was like, we have to remember people's names.
Yeah. We're like,
we're going to start a note in our phones and share the note with each other. And we will take down the names.
Like what's like, there's nothing. If you don't remember who people are, then like,
then you're not listening. You're already proving that you're not listening to them.
What's the point for me as an introvert, if I'm not going to remember anyway, or if I'm not going to remember them and like it be useful to me in the future to like remember somebody's name, why am I expending energy?
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, let me be a little bit more intentional with the energy I'm giving out here by talking to other people and being in a social setting. Let me actually make use of this and like meet people and remember them and remember their names. So we created a list, a shared note of people who we meet.
Yeah.
Period.
And it seems so simple, but it is such a life hack. Like just start taking down a note. It's like when my grandpa used to have his Rolodex. That is so important. That's why they know people. That's why they have generated generational wealth. That's why they've created opportunities.
That's how they've known people for as long as they have.
It is.
They're like, my buddy owns this, my, you know, whatever. And
he fixes my car for $25 because I know his name.
Literally.
Because I know his name.
Literally.
And like, it's
not about getting things, but it's like,
I can't overstate it.
It's helping people. It's building a community.
Yes. I can't overstate enough the importance of actually just remembering people's names. And it shifted the way that we interact with people because we had a job to do when we were talking to them.
We're like, remember them.
We were like, we're not like,
what do you do?
Yeah.
Remember what they do.
Yes.
When they tell you what they do or who they are, remember it. Oh, it's so huge. And that's been like a huge difference in what we've done and how we've extended our energy and like made use of it. And we started doing that this is the last thing I think I'll say on the things, ways we've expanded, but we have made it a routine, and routines will change and evolve and that's fine. But we had made it a routine to go to a same spot for a Saturday brunch together, which we don't, you know, have a whole lot of time together. So a Saturday brunch, something we thought would be really nice. We ended up falling into a routine of doing that And that was the place that we like began that journey of being like, well, we keep showing up to this place. We have to remember people's names
because
like
to.
We see them every week.
It'd be
week.
So rude if we like, didn't
that
know
would
them.
Be so fucking rude. Yeah. So we started remembering people's names, and then everybody started remembering our names. And then now we know everyone there and everyone knows us. And
they make sure they like find us seats because they know when we're going to be coming over.
They're the sweetest. It's like the best. It's honestly, it feels
we've
like
we've gotten free meals. We have such great conversations. Like,
yeah, I mean, we got a free meal once, but like it was like an extension of like, hey, I recognize you and like whatever.
There was that last question that kind of was a piece of that is like, how do you balance the chill with the new experiences? And I think that's how you do it. Like, going out, and we have been intentional with the way that we're interacting with people socially. Like, we are spending the time getting to know people's names and doing that, but we've inserted it into a rhythm that's comfortable for us. Like, it's a space we're comfortable with. We order the exact same food and the exact same drinks.
Wait, last time we ordered not the same thing, and like our server was like, I will never feel like I can expect anything from you guys.
And somebody brought up, I don't know if it was intended for us, but somebody brought our actual normal order to us.
And it was not for us, though.
I don't think it was for us.
But we were like, oh no, did they make it?
Like did somebody just see us come in and they just like,
Nani Suits.
They're like, start it up, they're here. And then like, ah.
I know, but it wasn't, because it wasn't for us.
But then also like, on top of that too, like, we're also very intentional with our Saturday mornings before we go out. And we're like, we take our time to sit down in the evenings and like read, or we'll have
everything is so much more intentional.
Everything's intentional, and it creates, I can start, and I don't know what the biological stuff behind this is, but like I can start relaxing 45 minutes before my actual relaxation time because I can anticipate it coming because I know what to expect.
Yeah.
And I think scheduling your life like that just helps, especially somebody like me who has to be so ritualistic about things. I want to like make everything a process to get into it. I can start the process before I have to expend the time to actually do the thing of relaxing.
That's a good point. Yeah, because that was like you said, that was the last question. Like, you guys seem so chill, and like, how do you mix cozy vibes with like new adventures and stuff?
And we drink tea a lot.
Yeah, I think it's just, I think really it's our nature. Like, we're very cozy people naturally, but we started like on tour together. So like adventure is like in our bones. It's like in the core of like our relationship.
We are each other's comfort amidst the adventure.
Yes. And because of that, Noah, we're like, okay, I'm comfortable with, like, you're my safe place. Mm-hmm. Now it's okay to open up. Like,
you can retreat to me if you need to, but open now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just being really intentional. We've done that with like parties too. Like we'll go in and I'm like, okay, we're leaving at this time. And we go we go in and we're like, let's like fucking kill this thing. Like we go in with like such a mentality of being like,
let's meet the people. What's our opening move?
Yeah, let's meet the people. Let's like start the party. Let's do like we just really like to go in with a bang so that I can leave by 9:30. You know what I mean?
They don't realize that the shots at the beginning means our bedtime is at 9:30, but we know.
Literally. I mean, I don't do shots so much anymore, but if I did, it would be at the beginning of the party. I'm like, Lauren's here. Where are the shots? Let's go throw them back. I take a picture. We're like, wow, I go crazy. And I'm like, and everybody's like, where'd the party go?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like they can hardly tell we leave because we're at opposite ends of the party. So it's not like a two people exiting. It's like we both like meet at the exit and we high five and then
now we say that and we don't actually like peace out. Like, but like all the parties we've been to, it's like we're there for like at least 2.5 hours. But
whatever.
You get what I'm saying. Very intentional how you do this. Okay. Well,
that's how to do a relationship.
That's how to relationship. Gosh. Oh, Adam, this is going to be such a long episode.
No, I love it. And I think they're going to love it too. I hope you guys enjoyed this.
Let us know. If you did like it, please just leave a review.
Just tell us, in the future, do more of these, or maybe break this up into 4 episodes, you freaks.
Oh my God. Yeah. Don't leave that on a review. DM at CuriosityPod. At Lauren Deliri.
At Adam Frost.
And thanks for listening. We love you guys. And until next time.
Bye. Bye.